Christy Carson, and today my guest is Tom Archer, president of Second Wind Lung Transplant Association of St. Louis. Welcome to the program, Tom.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
We're so glad that you can join us today, and we're excited to talk about the upcoming 12th annual Second Wind Lung Walk 5K Race and Walk happening Saturday, October 17th at Forest Park, starting off at the Visitor Center, and we're excited to talk about that. We've supported you in the past, and it's such a vital fundraising event that you do, an awareness event. So before we get to that, though, I want to start with you, Tom. This organization, Second Wind Lung Transplant Association, is so important to you because you are a transplantee yourself.
I am a transplantee myself, and actually my anniversary of my ninth year post-transplant will be in 2 days, 9/11 of 06 when I was transplanted.
Wow, congratulations, Tom. And by the time our listeners hear this program, it'll be 9 years and 2 days because this will air on Sunday. So congratulations to you. So a lot of us do take for granted where our next breath is coming from or how our next breath is going to come. And at Second Wind Lung Transplant Association, those things are not taken for granted. And talk to me about the diseases associated with having the need for a lung transplant.
Well, there are a lot of different diseases that the last course of treatment is transplantation. My particular disease is pulmonary fibrosis, specifically idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which causes a scarring of the lungs and renders them not elastic. They don't expand and contract, and therefore you don't breathe. So each of the diseases have characteristics that are specific to them only, but in general, they all cause your lungs to not work properly. So at certain points of time, people then need to be prescribed supplemental oxygen to wear, and depending on the severity of your disease, it determines how much oxygen or what the oxygen flow would be, rather, per minute. And the sicker you get, the more oxygen you have to use.
Well, 9 years is some time, and a lot can happen in 9 years, especially as it pertains to technological or medicinal advances. And I'm sure things are different now than they were 9 years ago, but I remember you telling me previously that one of the things that really, really helped you with a successful outcome with your transplant surgery was talking with other people that had gone through this and also having access to a great medical facility like Barnes-Jewish Hospital.
I'm fortunate to be at Barnes-Jewish Hospital, and there's a good support system there with social workers and who meet, the group meets twice a month, and just talking to people about your disease, about transplantation, about what the waiting is like. There's a pre-transplant and a post-transplant class that help to kind of clue you in about what might be happening, but it's not anything close to talking to somebody who's actually lived it and is living it at the same time. So that was my connection. I found and met people there who were members of the Second Wind Lung Transplant Association and connected myself to them immediately. And they were supportive and had answers. And I was assigned a mentor in that group, Ted Tudison, who helped me through the process of waiting.
I want to talk about that waiting period because many of us might imagine that if you're on the waiting period, you're taking your meds, you're trying to stay as healthy as you can until a donor is found and you're able to have your surgery, but the process is a lot more involved than that. There are things that you have to do before you get on the waiting list, while you're on the waiting list, and even post-surgery, correct?
Exactly right. And even before that, it's even just believing yourself that there is something out there. And it took my sister Diane to really push me to say, go find something. I think it's at Barnes Hospital. And so I did because she loves me and I love her dearly and I trusted her that there would be something there for me. And a lot of people don't have that. I live in a major city now. I grew up in a rural community in Ohio and I'm not sure that that long ago I would have been aware of what was available. I think I would have looked, but and I trust that it would have, but having more people around, as you mentioned earlier, that have experienced the same thing and that I can see day-to-day or talk with day-to-day through the process or who call me to see how I was doing and to kind of keep my spirits up and challenge me to get out and do things. That makes all the difference, not just friends, but family as well.
Talk to me about the financial impact of going through that process.
The financial impact is immense. If people have private insurance, insurance will pay for the transplant, generally speaking. If people are receiving a Medicare or some kind of disability benefit, like SSDI, they will pay for 90% of the transplant. And so people generally have to carry a supplemental insurance as well. That would pay 90% of the 20% that Medicare didn't cover. So if that's all in line and there's a transplant benefits counselor there as well, when you're first evaluated, to help you kind of look through what coverage you have and what coverage you're going to need. But it still means the cost of getting medications, you know, for the rest of your life. And Medicare pays for a portion of the immunosuppressant medications. But the biggest part of it, there's still a bit out of pocket there too. So it takes constant planning. And people who have to relocate to St. Louis for a transplant because they're too far away, they have to be within 2 hours of the transplant center, have to maintain an apartment or a home, and then move here and relocate here, not knowing when they'll be transplanted or not knowing how long they'll actually have to wait, and trying to manage another residence here, either an apartment or a home or something like that.
Wow.
So that's kind of where we come in terms of that benefit, offering financial assistance in those situations, or someone who has to come often for clinic appointments with the transplant team. It involves driving and gas for their car and a place to stay for a couple nights, and their daily expenses don't always allow for that extra expense, so we try to help there as well.
It sounds like there are so many things that you have to be concerned with on so many different fronts, and basically fighting for your life. And that's why it's so important that we have organizations like Second Wind Lung Transplant Association that can support patients and families that are going through this journey. And I know one of the ways that you help other people with those finances, the support group, and all the things that we've talked about today is through your major fundraiser. And we have that coming up October 17th at Forest Park, the 2015 Second Wind Lung Walk and 5K Race. And it'll take place at Forest Park Visitor Centers, kicking off at 9 a.m. on October 17th.
That's correct. And we hope to raise it in the neighborhood of $40,000. What we raise this year will be the money that's available starting January 1. So the money we're using for assistance this current year is the money we raised last year at the 11th annual walk.
Again, I want to remind everybody, the event is coming up on October 17th at Forest Park, right there in front of the Visitor Center is where they're going to kick off. And if you register prior to the event, it's $25. If you wait until the day of, it'll be $30 to register, but you're welcome. There's going to be T-shirts, live music, food, beverages, and raffle baskets, all kinds of great things. You can do your printable entry form online at secondwindstl.org, secondwindstl.org, and your participation would be so appreciated. Tom, I wanted to ask you, was your experience much like mine when I was going through my health crisis and I had been sick for such a long time that when I finally had my surgery that pretty much brought me back to life in a healthy manner? I was like, I had been sick so long that I had really truly forgotten what it was like to be healthy. Was that the same thing for you? Did you have that same experience?
You nailed it spot on, because you learn a new way of living and you learn a tremendous amount of coping skills, adaptation skills, how to make my day less stressful and how to conserve the oxygen that my lungs can take in on their own. So after transplant, when I was asked to take a deep breath, I was completely amazed that I was taking a deep breath, and the breath just kept continuing, because I was just so used to breathing from just at the base of my neck, real shallow breath. So it was an amazing feeling to fill my lungs completely, new lungs completely with air, and be able to hold it and just hold it for a while. And I could just hold it. I hadn't done that in years and years and years. It was an amazing experience for me, and other recipients speak of the same kinds of experiences.
And that's what we want, more people to have that experience, to fully breathe in and enjoy what feeling healthy is like once again with the Second Wind Lung Transplant Association. And you can do that by supporting the walk coming up October 17th and also being a donor. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about other ways that you can help and just the medical aspect of this journey with Dr. Hashem coming up next time. But in the meantime, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you at the event.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And we'll be back with Dr. Ramsey Hashem of Barnes Jewish Hospital next.